This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your boy Big Zoo, a.k.a. Ed R. Zuma, coming to you live right here on WFAN in New York City. And boy, oh boy, we got a show for you here tonight. So make sure you got that hotline bling, and it's 888-808-1019. That is the number to get in on all the fun. My guy Rami Lavi on the other side will answer your call, screen you, get you up, and get you ready for me. Because tonight, we got 3 hours to play with, right up until 6 a.m., and we got a lot to talk about in that short time frame. And there's one place, and one place only, that I would like to start this, and that is right there over at MetLife Stadium and with the New York Giants. Because the Giants, losing two games this week, Sunday and Thursday on Thanksgiving, getting embarrassed in both of those games. I mean, I guess Thanksgiving was a little bit better, but to be fair, this team is getting embarrassed out there with the way that they carry themselves, with the way that they carry themselves both post-game and during the game, and it's just getting worse and worse week to week. And this is a franchise that needs to turn this around fast. This is a proud franchise. This is a franchise that doesn't allow themselves to get weighed down by dead weight. And right now, the Giants have dead weight at two of the biggest spots that a franchise can have dead weight. And that is with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Both men need to go ASAP. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, Brian Daboll, I've had a lot of patience for him. I've had a lot of excuses for him. Joe Shane, on the other hand, after that first year's success, Joe Shane needed to sit with John Mara. And he needed to explain to him, listen, I know Daniel Jones just did what he did. I know Daniel Jones, the man you drafted, he's a guy you want to believe in. He's a guy you want this franchise to be built around. As soon as the number gets over $30 million per year, Daniel Jones can no longer be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. That was Joe Shane's first mistake, by not getting that message through John Mara's head. That is part of his job. His job is not to be a secretary for John Mara. He is supposed to do what he did this offseason with Saquon Barkley and convince John Mara that this guy is not the guy for us right now to go into the future. Instead, the Giants give Daniel Jones a terrible contract, $40 million per year. And yes, every single person that looked at that contract said, oh, the Giants have an out after 2 years. What a great move by Joe Shane. Why is that a great move when every single one of us that said that was saying it because we knew the Giants were going to drop, cut, get rid of Daniel Jones after two seasons? That is a terrible contract. That is a terrible move. That is an inexcusable move. And yes, most of it is because John Mara wanted him back, but Joe Shane needed to step up in that moment and explain and really get it through and not give up on the message at all. Because once they signed Daniel Jones to that contract, a contract that was given to a QB that had 3,200 passing yards that year, 15 passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And you want to say, oh, well, his rushing made up for it. He had 700 rushing yards with 7 touchdowns. He didn't even hit 4,000 yards of total offense. You want to sit here and tell me that that's the guy you want leading your team? A guy that is so clearly being carried by the rest of the parts on that team. The team is making him better. You're going to now pay that guy $40 million a year? That sets you back 2 seasons off the bat. So that first year's success and the lack of Joe Shane being able to put his foot down with Daniel Jones, that set this team back right off the bat. Then you look at what Joe Shane did in the draft class that year. He completely whiffed on that 2023 draft class. You got Deontay Banks with the first round pick. I mean, I don't even know if he's a guy that can be a top corner at all in this league. I mean, his confidence is dropping. He is getting criticized left and right. He's not as talented or as physically gifted as Sauce Gardner, so I don't think he's a guy that's going to be able to easily bounce back. I think Deontay Banks is going to end up being one of those guys that we look back and saying, man, he's not a bad player, but he certainly isn't a first-round pick. And Joe Shane, that's the guy he gets right after signing Daniel Jones. Now, go into the rest of that offseason, you bring in Darren Waller to be the number one option for Daniel Jones. After saying all season, this guy needs a receiver, this guy needs options to throw the ball to, the guy you get is often injured and wasn't really successful as a number one option. Sure, he had good years as a tight end, but he's not a guy you can throw the ball to and get 100 receptions a year, 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. You needed to get a receiver who could make plays. Instead, you got Darren Waller. How did that turn out? Absolute disaster. Complete and utter, just terrible move. The team falls out last year. Jones gets hurt early. The team falls out of control. Dable's able to save it at the end because what does he do? He turns chicken, you know what, into chicken parmesan. And this is why I had a lot of respect for Brian Dable coming into this year. Because he was still able, with the terrible team Joe Shane gave him last year, to get something out of them and keep them locked in. Flash forward to this year. You have Joe Shane with another year of Daniel Jones. Instead of just saying, you know, we got this guy, Tommy DeVito, let's draft a quarterback, let's stick him at the back of the depth chart, and, you know, let's roll with DeVito as a backup and save some money and use it somewhere else. Instead, he takes that $5 million and spends it on Drew Lock. He brings in Devin Singletary, who is unnecessary to have here as well. This team doesn't know what they want to do going into the year. They don't know if they want to compete. They don't know if they want to fall off. They bring in Brian Burns. The defense looks even worse. I mean, this year couldn't have been any more of a disaster, and you can directly tie it to the lack of production from the offensive line that has been built by Joe Shane. With Azudu, with Evan Neal, with these guys that are out there, and I know guys were signed. I know Andrew Thomas is hurt. But the pieces on this team are not nearly good enough to have won with Daniel Jones as your quarterback making $40 million a year. So once you gave that contract, you punted away 2 years. That's how important that move was right off the bat for Joe Shane. And that's why I think that move, in conjunction with how hard he pushed to not re-sign Saquon Barkley, is why you won't see Joe Shane as the GM of the New York Giants just next year. And it's going to be way for the better of this franchise. Now, Brian Dable, on the other hand, I've had a lot of respect, a lot of patience for Dabes. I think he is a good coach. I think when he is done here, he's going to go get a coordinator job. He's going to do pretty damn good over there. And he's going to find himself to another head coaching position where I don't think he's a Super Bowl winning coach. I don't think he's going to be that type of level of success. But he will be a type of guy that's going to stick around, and he's going to go to the playoffs, and he's going to win a division or two, and he's going to be solid. You know why? Because Brian Dable is a good coach. But when you have a terrible roster that you're working with, and then you make stupid choices, like going to Tommy DeVito over Daniel Jones, sticking Daniel Jones on, you know, practice squad, having him play safety on the scout team, making an embarrassment out of him in front of all the players, you start to lose the locker room. And I didn't think that was something that Dabbs could do. What, granted, based off of last year, everybody stayed on board. Even through the terrible, terrible season that it was for the Giants, everybody stayed on board and kept their eye on the prize of, hey, next year, we just got to keep building. We got to keep building. Everybody in that locker room, I think, has quit on Brian Daboll. You hear Malik Nabers after almost every single game, anytime he pretty much has a microphone in his face, he is talking the worst crap you could about a head coach. I mean, he is talking the worst crap you could about a team. He's calling them basically lazy. He's sticking them out there. He's saying, just throw me the ball. I don't care about if I drop it. I mean, now listen, that quote was taken out of context, but to be fair, don't say that. You know, don't say that because you should care because your team sucks. And part of the reason you lost on Thanksgiving is because of how many times you dropped the ball. So maybe just own up to it. Maybe just be an actual professional in the National Football League where you're paid to be a professional football player. But Daboll has lost this locker room so bad that guys are doing that. Dexter Lawrence a couple weeks ago was talking about how we know Daniel Jones is the best quarterback here. This team has turned on him. And once the team turns on you, that's it. You got to go. So even though I think Dable's going to have a lot of success in his career going forward, Daboll needs to kick rocks right on out with Joe Shane, because this entire regime with the New York Giants has gotten stale. It has completely fallen apart. And after an incredible start, you talk about going into playoffs, winning a game on the road to where they are right now, about to get the number one pick in the NFL draft. That type of fall off in 2 years is unacceptable. Anyone who does that, anybody who is responsible for that, needs to go. And if you're sitting there talking about how you need to be patient, how you need to, you need to stick with regimes, you need to stick with these guys, you need to give them time to build. Joe Shane isn't the guy to build this team. And if he is the GM, Brian Daboll will never have full success here. And because Brian Daboll has lost that locker room, he can't be here either. Both of those guys gotta go. The sooner it happens, the sooner the Giants can start to rebuild and get healthy. They can start to heal from this awful period of Giant football. They have the opportunity to get a number one pick in this draft, potentially bring in Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, a type of player who can completely change the way that your franchise is going forward. You do that, you bring in a new regime, and you allow them to set the culture, you allow them to set the standard, and you allow them to decide what this franchise is going to look like going forward. You can blame Daniel Jones all you want. You could put it on Daniel Jones. You could say Daniel Jones got multiple coaches fired, get multiple GMs fired. At the end of the day, these coaches are losing the locker room. These GMs aren't putting anywhere near enough on the field to be able to compete with these guys they have. You have to understand your team. Joe Shane, in my opinion, based on the teams that he has built here as the Giants GM, he doesn't understand this team. And he doesn't understand where they want to go going forward. And, I mean, the fact that he allowed $40 million a year of that cap to go to Daniel Jones when he knew that wasn't going to work, and he knew in 2 years he was going to get rid of him. That was a terrible contract. That was a terrible job not telling John Mara how important it was to allow Daniel Jones to walk there. That is Joe Shane's fault. You can put it on Mara all you want, and yes, it was his decision, and he did push for it. But your job, if you're Joe Shane, in that situation, when you see that happening in front of you, you see what John Mara is saying, and you just had the great success that you had in your first year, you have to push back, and you have to say, enough is enough, and this is too much. We cannot mortgage our franchise for Daniel Jones. And instead, They mortgaged a franchise for Daniel Jones, and we're sitting here 2 years later, and the Giants need a completely new regime and a completely new, I mean, just a complete facelift, if we're being honest. And right now, the way the Giants are playing, it's more like a BBL, if I'm being real. 888-808-1019. That's because they cheeks. Let's go to the phones here real quick, and let's go to my guy leading off the night over there in Dix Hills, the great Harvey. Harvey, how are you, brother?
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Where else would I rather be at 3:15 than talking to you right here on WFAN in New York City?
Well, you can complain anytime you want to, because that's what we do a lot of, isn't it?
Hey, that's what I'm here for. It's the sports therapy line. 3:16, give me a ring. I know the Giants got you feeling some type of way over there, Harvey, and I know how you feel about Daniel Jones, but I'm not quite 100% sure how you feel going forward on Dable and Joe Shane.
As I said, the problem is, I want to talk about Daniel Jones and Barkley. You know, those are my two favorite subjects. But I didn't want to fire him this year. I wanted to fire him last year. Okay? That's Amen. How I feel about Shane and Dable. Okay? Their drafting is atrocious. And I made so many calls on Dable. He got my favorite defensive coordinator fired, Wink Martindale. I call it the element of surprise defense. He's the University of Michigan. Screams at his coaches, disrespects everybody. And by the way, Kafka was the play caller last year. He took that away from him.
Yep.
And he did a lousy job despite all the screaming, yelling, and doing everything that he did wrong. I'm serious.
No, without a doubt. And I mean, listen, Harvey, to your point, I wasn't as harsh on Dable coming into this year because I put a lot of that on Joe Shane's back, because I think Joe Shane looked at that first year and said, oh, well, Brian figured out how to make it work with Daniel Jones, so you know what? If we have to pay Daniel $40 million, then Brian will just figure it out the same way with guys like Isaiah Hodgins and, you know, nobody who can actually make plays out there and break a game. And without that, Daniel Jones was never going to be great. And I put that on Joe Shane. And then Dable, like you said, he screams at everybody, and after a while, that gets old. And now it's starting to get old, and you're seeing how these players are responding. If the Giants win another game this year, I will be shocked. And I would have never said that last year based on Brian Dable. But I think this year they don't win a game the rest of the way because of Brian Dable.
And by the way, that screaming, I'm very serious about him screaming and disrespecting his coaches and his players. I made a call with Joe a while ago that I played football from seventh grade up, and I never, wrestling and track, I never had a coach that screamed. I'll tell you what they used to do to us, Eddie, and I told you that many times, is that my coach would put my arm around me and say, why'd you drop the ball 2-10 laps? And then he'd have you another 10 laps. And then he'd teach you how to catch a ball. For example, I read an article in the paper, I think I brought this up, Neighbors is still trying to catch a ball with his hands. He should have learned that at LSU, to be quite frank with you.
No.
Because I learned that in seventh grade.
I mean, it's one of those things, Harvey, and I appreciate the call, where you look at the way the Giants are coached and how they run their organization, and you say to yourself, what is going on? Like, what is trying to happen here? Are you trying to win? Are you trying to rebuild? You can't do both. And for the last 2 years, 3 years, if we're being completely honest, they have been trying to do both. You can't do that. You can't spend 3 years trying to rebuild and win. If you do that, you're going to do neither. So basically, the Giants have wasted the last two seasons now. Two seasons. Because instead of picking a road to go down, they've just been standing there at the fork and trying to go, oh, which way do we choose? John, Mr. Mara, I know he's a great man. I've heard some great stories. I've heard great things from people I know about Mr. Mara. But he needs to understand how important it is to get these two guys out of the building. These two guys are the biggest issues with the Giants right now. You can blame the players all you want. You can blame the lack of talent all you want. But who's in charge of getting talent on the team? and who's in charge of putting those players in the best position to win. That would be Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And they have continued to not try to win, not try to lose, and not do anything in between. It's really one of the most maddening things that you could imagine, being a fan of a franchise, just watching them stay stagnant year after year. Trust me, I know, I'm a Jet fan. We're a freaking disgrace 95% of the time, and again this year. But the Giants are a franchise with class, the Giants are a franchise with pedigree, and the Giants are a franchise that have fans that have a lot of respect for themselves and are knowledgeable about the game of football. And Giant fans are being disrespected with the way that this organization is being run right now. They deserve a lot better. And quite frankly, I'm not sure they're going to get a lot better anytime soon. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call here all night long. Right up until 6 a.m. or I guess all morning long. Not really sure where we are, but you know where I am. Right here on The Fan in New York City. Rami will be back after this.